CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. With the space shuttle drawing crowds in museums, a private cargo ship made a delivery to the International Space Station this morning. SpaceX founder Elon Musk says the docking was perfect.
There's so much that could have gone wrong, and it went right.
NASA's Mike Suffredini.
My congratulations to the SpaceX team. They did a fantastic job not only designing both the launcher and the spacecraft, but operating them, and also to the NASA team.
A 24-year-old Canadian man is spending the holiday weekend in federal custody after creating a ruckus on a Jamaica to Miami flight. WFOR-TV reporter Peter Dench.
All this happened on board an American Airlines flight number 320 that was approaching Miami International Airport from Montego Bay. We understand a passenger who police say had been drinking rushed the cockpit and was subdued by passengers and crew. Miami-Dade police tell us that passenger has been charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
Ryan Snyder is scheduled to appear in court Tuesday. The FBI says the incident is not terrorism-related. A New Jersey judge has dismissed the civil suit against a woman who was texting her boyfriend when he plowed into a couple on a motorcycle. Attorney Skippy Weinstein represents David and Linda Kubert, who each lost a leg in the crash.
Even though the case against Shannon Colonna has been dismissed, they are gratified that if, by bringing the case, it has accomplished the goal of making people think before they test, whether while driving or to someone who is driving, perhaps it may prevent another tragic accident.
A New Jersey man is being arraigned today in the death of 6-year-old Eitan Pates, who disappeared in New York City 33 years ago today. Police say Pedro Hernandez confessed to killing the boy. Kids who may be in danger of being kidnapped are getting some advice from someone who's been there. CBS's Sam Litzinger.
In light of the Eitan Pates disappearance case in New York, Elizabeth Smart is speaking out. She was 14 when she was grabbed from her bed and held prisoner for 9 months before being rescued. Now she's working with the group RAD Kids, Resisting Aggression Defensively, which encourages threatened children to take action.
Whether it's screaming or kicking or going and finding an adult to come in and help the situation, I want them to have the confidence to do that.
Her advice to the parents of missing children, never give up. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The Pacific hurricane season is coming in like a lion, or like a bud.
We expect some very torrential rains on the order of 6 to 10 inches, maybe up to 15 inches in a few spots, and that, we're afraid, could produce some life-threatening flash floods and mudslides.
The National Hurricane Center's James Franklin says Bud is a Category 2 hurricane churning toward Mexico's Pacific coast south of Puerto Vallarta. It could make landfall by tonight. The Dow down 45 points. This is CBS.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
This Memorial Day weekend at Ace, get a Craftsman cordless trimmer blower combo. Was $119.99, now just $99.99.
The weekend is coming!
Or pick up Miracle-Gro 2-cubic-foot potting mix, $9.99 each with a $4 mail-in. So get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Prices good at participating Ace stores May 25th through 28th may not be combined with other offers. Limit 2 rebates total for Miracle-Gro purchases. Additional conditions apply. See store for details.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
AOL's California campus is nice. So nice, a young entrepreneur moved in.
Eric Simons is the 19-year-old founder of a company called Class Connect, a website that received $20,000 in seed money from some Silicon Valley veterans.
And they've had some really great advice for us.
That advice may not have included squatting at AOL's campus in Palo Alto. Once his initial investment ran out, Simons spent 2 months working and living at the campus, eating in the cafeteria, showering in the gym, and sleeping on couches until security guards finally kicked him out. But according to CNET, the young entrepreneur has received an additional $50,000 in venture capital funding. Matt Bigler, CBS News in Silicon Valley.
Apple's CEO is giving up a big chunk of his compensation. The company says Tim Cook will give up $75 million in dividends on restricted stock. He won't be short of funds, though. His total compensation was valued at $378 million when he became CEO last August. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Right now at the Home Depot, all special Automationite fiberglass entry doors are 20% off. Transforming an entryway hinges on a simple change that's less expensive, more energy efficient, and longer lasting than wooden doors. With new features and glass designs you won't find anywhere else, you can give any home a whole new look, thanks to 20% off special order Masonite doors. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 6th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Ever turn on your TV to find the Dish Hopper lets you skip through all the ads? Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the Dish Hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Things to talk about. Karen Beebe's going to be in a little late, perhaps, but she's on her way today.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Hey. Yes, it's been an amazingly strange week this week. Yes, it has been. And the weather, maybe some sprinklies today, maybe, but tomorrow they're pretty sure they're going to be sprinklies. Now, maybe that'll change and everything, but I think we can all agree that we don't know what the weather is anymore. We have no idea what normal is. The norm has gone away. I like norm, too. It's one of my favorites. It's gone. It's all gone. This is one thing that's happening this weekend for sure is Memorial Day, and I think we're going to start our day with this.
Absolutely. Let's get sharing again. Whoa. Whoa. This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new ultra-high-field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new Ultra High Field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
Many insurances are accepted, of course, or all of them. I don't know what it said, but some like it. And so go to San Luis Diagnostic. Let's talk about today and who's this and what's this on this 25th day of May and our highlighting history on May 25th in 1787. The Constitutional Convention began at the Philadelphia State House, Independence Hall, of course, in Philadelphia. After enough delegates had shown up for a quorum, the convention ended 4 months later with delegates adopting the Constitution of the United States. On this date in 1895, playwright Oscar Wilde was convicted of a morals charge in London. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison. 1935, Babe Ruth hit the 714th and final home run of his career for the Boston Braves and a game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. 1979, 273 people died when American Airlines DC-10 crashed just short after the airport after taking off from O'Hare. Our birthdays today include actor Ian McKellen is 73, movie director and Muppeteer Frank Oz is 68, actor-comedian Mike Myers is 49, actress Anne Hesch is 43, actress Octavia Spencer is 42, and singer Lauryn Hill is 37 today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's your birthday today. I hope you have a happy birthday. I wish it was sunnier for you.
Happy birthday to you.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked. All right, Karen Vini's on our way in from CalcoSnews.com. She'll be here in just a few minutes. And so in the meantime, in between time, I thought I'd share this with you. This is worth hearing in a few seconds after I started because it always takes that long.
What if that company was Esurance and this wasn't a hypothetical question? Could be coolish. Esurance. Click or call.
You are one happy kid. You won $100,000 in prize money, which you're going to put toward college. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Tell me, how did you come up with the idea? I know you were inspired by a close family friend who died recently of pancreatic cancer, but how did you start thinking about doing this?
So once that close family friend died due to pancreatic cancer, I got really interested in early detection of pancreatic cancer because that's one of the main problems behind its huge death rate. And so then I was looking at blood tests because those are really the only way to detect it in its early stages for routine screenings, and so then I developed this sensor.
It's so remarkable. It's faster, it's cheaper, it's much more accurate.
Yeah.
And I know you're working on a patent right now. Meanwhile, we track down this video of you winning. It is so remarkable. I watched it a couple of times. We want to play it for you. We want you to watch it as it's happening. You see it there on the TV?
I remember that. I was so excited. I was amazed with winning.
Do you remember what was going through your mind? I mean, you say that you really didn't think you were going to win a prize, let alone the top prize, right?
No. The projects are at such a high caliber that I did not think I was going to win a prize.
I love it.
I was like depressed that I wasn't going to win a prize when I first walked
in. That's what I call what you just did there, a half Tebow, kind of like a bow, not quite a full Tebow, but a half Tebow. And tell me, what's next? Because a lot has happened just since that short time that you won, right?
Oh, that's good. Okay, but this is pretty amazing, though. This teenager came up with a way to detect pancreatic cancer early, a new screening, which is, I thought, pretty darn amazing myself. As a teenager, I wasn't doing that sort of thing. I distinctly remember I wasn't. Okay. Yeah, other things are going on in our world today. Other things are happening. They had, you know what I did yesterday morning? Now, this had nothing to do with why I wasn't at work. Yesterday morning, I went to the stand down they had at the vets hall, and what a lot of nice people helping vets out and doing stuff. And it was really very satisfying to see a lot of people getting help and whatnot. And they, and you know what I got? They gave us this. They signed in. They gave you some bus passes. And I took those. I'll tell you why. I don't really use the bus because I don't live in a place where the bus goes by. So I got four passes so we can take the squirts on the double-decker bus sometime because I want to take that thing and just ride around on it. And then, but you know what else they gave us? They gave us a $25 gas card. Seriously. Just for showing up. And that was pretty nice considering how, you know, it's kind of you're showing up to kind of see if you can get some help, and they help you right there. That was pretty cool. Anyway, so that's what happened. The stand-out went very well. A lot of places packed. There was just tons of people there. Anyway, so we thank all the people responsible for putting that thing on, and Milt Batson from the Employment Development Department for always being the spearhead of that thing. All right, other things are going on. So we do. We are told that we are going to have rain tomorrow, probably sprinklers of rain. What's the difference? You know, if you're at the strawberry festival, you know, and you're trying to eat, corn on the cob or something, it's going to get wet. That's what I look at it. Then I don't understand. I'm reading different versions of this story, and none of them make any sense to me because they disagree in a strange way. And that is this boat that came on the beach and beached in above Piedras Blancas, a couple miles north of Piedras Blancas, and it had 1,800 pounds of marijuana in it. It came in on the high tide, you know. So but here's the thing. So here it says it's 1,800 pounds of marijuana. Someplace else I read it's $2,000 worth of marijuana. Now, marijuana, I mean, you can't buy marijuana for a dollar a pound, can you? I know I'm not that familiar with this stuff, but I'm pretty sure that you can't buy it for a dollar a pound. I don't think that's how it's sold. So I'm not quite sure how the whole thing works out there. But anyway, they found the stuff just in this big boat. That's really weird, you know. So what happened to the people on the boat? Because you wouldn't want to just abandon that. We're just, you know, we're outright. Hard to say. Other people that are in the news today and why they're there and whether they belong there or not are things like, oh, here, of course, as we know. So what happened yesterday was the private spaceship. I don't know why they call it this. Why are they calling it this? I don't understand why they wrote this story this way. The world's first private supply ship. It's a rocket. It's not a ship. Is it a rocket ship, and that's why they're calling it a ship? It's too weird. That just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, SpaceX Dragon. So anyway, I guess it docked now. It went past, and now it's docked. So that's where we're at with that. Let's get on the phone and say hello to somebody today. Hello?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann.
It's Ann out in sunny Los Osos.
No, it's not.
Windy and sunny.
It is really
maybe
sunny?
Maybe somebody would know out in listener land. Today's paper... that is a story. County opposes repair burden.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the Supes have voted to I guess, email our legislators and ask them to oppose AB 2231. But it's clueless to me in Los Osos. We don't have sidewalks, so.
Well.
But it's apparently homeowners are responsible for the repair of the sidewalks in front of their home.
But let's ask ourselves. Really? But let's ask ourselves honestly. Are we surprised that they do this?
Well, no, but it sounds like they've always been responsible for the sidewalk. But that raises a question to me. If that sidewalk, if you have to pay to fix it, repair it, maintain it, that means you're liable. Somebody falls down, they sue you. And then if that's the case and you're responsible for this little stretch of property in front of your property, why couldn't you close it off and say, make it a toll road?
I don't get that. See, normally, and this is the other thing that's kind of weird, and I'm not sure how they decided this, but when you have a sidewalk and then there's that little strip of grass in front of that,
right.
So they say your property line goes from the middle of the street. Your property line actually goes from the back of your property to the middle of the street. Therefore, they've said that for some time, so I don't know if that meant then that when they started that procedure in cities, if the cities expected you to fix the sidewalk.
Well, apparently, because the bill that they're going to vote on in Sacramento is an attempt to put that cost back on the counties by saying that's a county
function.
And it's a public right of way. So far as I know, you can't block off your street to the middle of the road.
No, you can't.
You can't block off the sidewalk, and yet if technically all of that belongs to you, heck, I'd just slap a fence around the whole thing and put the dogs out there, you know.
Right out to the middle, and then the, right to the middle
you,
of the street.
You know, cities are self-insured, so because they have a huge insurance base, you know, from taxes from everybody. The individual homeowner, if you had to carry $20 million worth of insurance on your homeowners to cover somebody that falls on your sidewalk, we'd all go broke.
Yeah, I don't know about it all. I mean, you know, you see it, the city maintains the sidewalks downtown, so obviously that's, you know, a municipal area, so that would be their thing to do. But, you know, as soon as you get into a neighborhood, that becomes very questionable who's responsible for making sure that sidewalk's okay.
Well, why would the city maintain a sidewalk in front of a private business that owns the building?
I don't know. I don't know if the city could possibly, and I don't know the answer to this, Ann. In a business district, the city might say that they own the sidewalks in the street, unlike the private property where it goes to the middle of the street. In a business district, maybe they declare that we own, you know, the sidewalks in the street and curbs and trees, and you don't.
Well, okay, so then the other question is, if we own to the middle of the street, why are we paying taxes to fix streets? If there's a pothole in your street, then the city or county would just say, well, don't look at us. Go hire a street person to come and fix it. It's your problem.
And basically we're being screwed. I don't know. I don't know why you find that so remarkable.
No, it's just amazing to me because when they fix potholes in San Luis, in the middle, in the street, did they send a bill to the homeowner?
No.
So, and then when they fix a sidewalk in town, did they send a bill to the homeowner?
I don't know. They may send a bill to the homeowner if it was caused by, let's say, a tree on the property. You know.
Well, that I understand.
Yeah.
And then what do they do about street trees that were planted by the city?
It would seem to me they'd be responsible for that.
Well, you'd think.
You would think. Maybe
somebody out in the listener land knows the answer to all of that. It just seemed very odd to me.
I think we've concluded that nobody could know the answer to this.
Well,
We don't understand the news story.
The second peculiar thing is yesterday's headline where Napomo shuts off future faucets.
Yeah.
They're not going to process new applications. You know, they recently had that election, and the homeowners living there said, no, we're not going to import water. But I suspect, you know, one of the things that drives people crazy when they're dealing with water issues, the powers that be stand up and they say, we're absolutely out of water. There's no water whatsoever. We're all going to die immediately. We have no water, zero water. However, we have 300 will serve letters that will go ahead and build X number of homes. And he said, well, wait a minute. If you're out of water, you don't build 300 homes. It's like, could somebody figure out the exact amount that we actually do have that's real? A real number, then they might be able to get some votes.
Karen's here. Do you have an answer to this at all?
Well, the water issue is much bigger than just the Napomo.
Oh, I understand that.
You have different amount of water in different areas. We have groundwater. We have Lopez Lake water. We have Santa Margarita Lake water. And we have state water. And, for example, a study of water, a state study of water, put Pismo Beach as one of the top 10 with availability of water. They had an expert come in and determine that Pismo Beach has more water than almost anywhere because they have so many diverse sources. When it was first the Los Robles del Mar development, it was found out by staff, and there was an EIR done. It is in the sphere of influence in Pismo Beach. It was found that it had plenty enough water. The supervisor, Bruce Gibson is on the head of the committee for LAFCO, decided they were not going to follow the LAFCO staff recommendation. They were not even going to look at the lead agency, Pismo Beach's EIR, which is not appears to be one of the reasons they're now getting sued. But instead, they were going to hire a water expert who was going to come in and say there wasn't enough water. Well, the water expert came back and said, there's plenty of water. Go ahead and vote on the development. LAFCO can only legally vote regarding is it technically there. Then what you had was you had Bruce Gibson say, well, state water is only 25. They actually told the man after it was said there wasn't enough water, they said, you need to get state water. He spent $3.5 million buying state water, came back, and they said, oh, we decided state water is only 25% reliable. Well, now that their suit is coming in, the expert for the LAFCO is going to be testifying against LAFCO and several of the officials saying it was politically motivated to get Adam Hill elected during this election cycle.
Why am I not surprised? But, you know, when I was talking about Napomo.
Well, that's
again,
what I'm getting to that.
Deal, it's no wonder it drives people bananas because you've got expert A, expert B, expert C. And the numbers keep changing every 10 minutes, and it's no wonder people have a hell of a time voting for much of anything.
Well, that's what I was getting at. 5 days after the LAFCO vote, the supervisors, same people, you have Patterson, you have Gibson, the same guys are sitting again in front of the supervisors trying to push Napomo to buy to do the pipeline and trying to push Santa Margarita into a drought reliability plan. And suddenly, saying that the study came back and said it's at least 65% reliable. So you have the same supervisors in trying to get a project not approved, claiming the last study said it's not even 25% reliable. 5 days later, they say it's 65% reliable. And I just posted the vote for the Santa Margarita. There were two votes. Napomo was voting on water, and Santa Margarita was voting on an assessment district where they would have also been taxed. It failed miserably. It was actually a 3-1 vote against the assessment district that Jim Patterson and Pablo Ogram had spearheaded. The public in Santa Margarita said no.
I
just posted the results.
You know, I rest my case. That's why people just throw their hands up and go, it's nuts.
Wait, let me see something. It says there was 146,947 no votes.
Yes. Now, let me explain that.
Well, wait a minute. And then 49,533 people yes votes.
Yes.
This is in Santa Margarita?
Okay, let me explain.
Are they hiding in caves? Or?
You didn't read the sentence before.
Oh.
This is not, it's a type of estimated vote they use the dollar amount of the properties you own. So if you own six properties in town and you're going to have more of a tax, you have more of a vote. But they use properties and they make an assessment district based on the property owner's value of that property and
oh,
how much.
Oh, so this is actually in dollars. This was I'm sorry, you're right. I didn't read the sentence for it. It's $146,947 in no votes and $49,533 in yes votes.
And it's not straight assessment of the property. It's a It's a formula they use in order to get the votes tabulated. Same thing happened in Napomo. People that owned more properties had more votes.
Yeah, they did that with Los Osos on the sewer assessment as well.
So it's a common way to vote, which is, you know, if you have one small house and then you have five properties, it is going to impact you more if you have to pay an assessment tax.
Right.
I don't know what would happen today if, let's say, we had to go into drought mode once again in San Luis Obispo. But I don't know if you recall this, when we had the drought in the early 80s, the strangest thing in the whole world was, so they had an assessment for if you lived in an apartment, a multifamily dwelling, a single-family home, et cetera. This is what you were allotted water by. But the weirdest thing in the whole wide world was, because the mayor at that time happened to live on one of the yippy-skippy streets in town, and so what they decided to do is they grandfathered in anybody who had had a house and had been occupying the house since, I forget exactly when, since 1965 or something. They were allowed to keep using the same amount of water they've always used. And so, you know, I mean, it was patently unfair and ridiculous, you know, but there it was sitting everybody in the face, and, you know, everybody complained and said this is absurd, but that, you know, it stayed.
Do you remember how that was handled to a degree? Ernie DeLidio went in front of the city council and said, I have wells. He has, I think, seven wells, amazing water sources underneath his property.
Oh, I know what happened, yeah.
And he provided the city water from his property, and they didn't have to do as much rationing because of water provided by Ernie DeLidio at the time.
Ernie DeLidio, wait a minute. Now, let me get that story straight.
Yeah.
Ernie DeLidio didn't willingly provide it. He and Alex Madonna went to the city. They had a project idea. It wasn't like the big projects they built, but they had a project idea of some kind. And so the city said, well, you know, we don't think there's enough water. And so that's when they revealed how much water was underneath that piece of property. Now, wait. So then they put a well at the very corner of the Madonna Shopping Center, right in by where the hotel is. At the very corner where that hotel parking lot is, the city drilled a well, and they also drilled a well on Auto Parkway, on the little island of land on the Auto Parkway. Yeah. And that's the, and they started sucking the water out from Ernie DeLidio's property.
That's not what I'm talking about. Oh. I'm talking about an existing well at a time that Ernie allowed them to take water out of an existing well that he had.
Oh, he did.
And they did pay him for this.
Okay, well, the other stuff they didn't. They just stole it. And
yeah.
And then that collapsed the Bear Valley Center. Oh, we lost Ann.
Yeah, on this one it was, and they paid him. He did not just get, well, they said they had to pay him, but this was just water. He had seven wells and told them that they could take water out of his property, and it wasn't used for one of the centers or one of his developments. This was just at a time during the drought.
Okay.
But so it was a little bit different issue. One thing about Santa Margarita, and this is, I had gone to a couple of the meetings at the Santa Margarita Community Center where they spoke about this. We're talking almost a year ago, 6 months, a year ago, and people were saying, wait a minute, when everybody else has water problems in the county, we're built out, I think, except for one lot is left to build, and we've never had a ration water. In 100 years, we've never, with our groundwater, we've never run short. If we have no more property to build on, why would we suddenly need state water after 100 years?
This is Santa Margarita.
Yeah.
Boy, there's an interesting fact.
So and it was argued at the time, and it was quite strange. I was at one meeting, and it was Patterson's legislative assistant. I think he had a event to go to and did not show for that one. And this was their service district meeting, and that argument was coming up. And then they were saying, well, why, we also don't want to be taxed for state water, because if there is ever that serious a drought where we need to start taking state water, it might not be as reliable. And why can't we visit this in 6 months after the state reliability? No, it was 2 months after state reliability issues come out. And they said, no, we have to move on this right now. It's important. And I'm thinking, and at the time I'm thinking, well, they've never had to ration water. They don't have a problem. Why is this something that must be moved on today? It was a very odd conversation to watch.
I would imagine.
And it was, and I did see that people in Santa Margarita were not, they felt pressured to buy water they did not think, you know, several of them did not think they needed, and it appears that it was a 3-1 vote against it, you know, a 3/4 vote no. So it is fairly substantial.
The world gone mad. My guest is Karen Vili from CalcoastNews.com. She and I will return after these words from our friends.
Spring is the perfect time to get your garden back in shape with Farm Supply. Hi, this is Nicole, and I have some great news. Vegetables and herbs are at Farm Supply, ready for you to take home, plant, and enjoy. We're proud to be your local source for all of your home and garden needs. You can trust our knowledgeable staff to help you find the right product, technique, or helpful hint to make your yard blossom. Our staff can recommend what vegetables and herbs will grow best in your area. Ask us about what soils, herbicides, insecticides, and other tools you need for a successful growing season. Water is vital in keeping your yard in full bloom. Talk to one of our irrigation specialists about easy and economical ways to water your yard and conserve at the same time. Spring also welcomes chicks. Chicks are now hatching and arriving weekly at a farm supply near you. Visit our new locations in Paso Robles on Ramada Drive and in Buellton on McMurray Road. We're also located in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, and San Luis Obispo. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy, alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods Co-op, you'll find local organic produce and local pasture-raised meats, as well as organic grocery and bulk items. We have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high-quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest prices possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount at the register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and a membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo, or give us a call at 544-7928. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op of San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
Back we are. And Karen Velik, Bill Benica, and this is a CalcoastNews.com segment of our get-together on Friday. We talk about stuff that's gone on all week and wild and weird stuff. And then if you have a question or comment or anything you'd like to talk about, you can call 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. There we are. So you've been racing around. You've had so much on your plate there, kiddo. You've just been a whirlwind of stuff going on there. But anyway,
I'm getting caught up, and next week should be a tremendous news week on Cal Coast News. I had a couple deaths in my family, and I was out of town, and I was in Kentucky for about a month and a half trying to write from there, but I'm back in town and getting back on track. And again, we should have some really tremendous stories coming up soon. One thing I did break this week, which I found very interesting. the mother that was recently killed in Los Osos. She had sent an email to the Board of Supervisors about a month and a couple days before she was killed by her son, strangled by her son.
And asking what?
Primarily saying that she had a son with drug issues and problems and there was nowhere for him to go and that she wanted them to support Sonny Acres because Sonny Acres would let her son go out there. And her son had been at Sonny Acres for about a week when he took off. And I talked to Dan Duvall, and he said that he appeared to have mental health issues and drug addiction. And it'd take off for a day, then come out, pretty whacked out, take off, according to Dan Duvall. And then I guess he came back and took a hose and was putting it on the gravel road and rolling in it and running around and afraid of people and acting very odd. So Duvall had the sheriff's department come out and put him in county mental health. They kept him for less than 24 hours, which is a problem because a lot of people say we need to have better county mental health services. This is very common. If they say, are you fine, you go home. So he came back, and then went over to his mom's house to stay. He was probably at Duvall's for no more than about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Around this time, she did send the supervisors a letter, and she said, I want you to, you know, there's nowhere for my son to go. I want you to support Sonny Acres and Dan Duvall. And this is after they'd already closed the cot. You know, he has those sheds that were like, what do you call it, garden sheds. And they were very, very tiny, about the size of a garden shed. One person would sleep in there. But Duvall said, you know, someone with mental illness doesn't often want to stay with other people in a room. They want, you know, and he said he didn't do well. He didn't do well in the house, and everybody else was gone. So there was, you know, there was numerous problems out there, you know, numerous problems with not having anywhere for the boy to go. But after she sends this letter, he strangles her and kills her, or he strangles her and a month later, and then she died the end of April. Or did she? No, she died the 1st of May, May 7th or something.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's just a sad situation with San Luis Obispo County. And for example, if you're a dual diagnosis in Santa Barbara County, there are several places for you to go that are county funded and supported to a degree. So if you have mental health issues and you're using drugs, your parents or your family can say, hey, you know, this is a place you can go and get help. And if you check yourself in, you have psychologists, you have hospital personnel, they work with you on medicines. It's a full care facility. We have nothing in this county. Now, Duvall was doing drug counseling, but he doesn't have a psychologist on hand either to take care of the mental health issues. And very often someone with mental health issues, I've called a couple places while I was working on the story, they will try to get them on a medication for their manic depression or their schizophrenia while at the same time trying to get them off drugs. But we have nothing here. I mean, Dan Duvall had, you know, the classes at night and somewhere for them to stay. But again, we don't have any dual diagnosis. And the other problem is, if you call down to Santa Barbara County and say, okay, you have a couple facilities, and they have medical doctors and psychologists, and they try to get these people going to work, and they, one of them's 2 years. I mean, these are two-year programs to get them on medications for their mental illnesses, to treat their mental illnesses, and to get them off drugs long-term. And then the last year's work getting them into a job, getting them, the last 6 months they go in the daytime to work, and they try, and then at the end they get them housing. So it's a really good program to get people back into society. We don't have a program.
Well, our program is you check into mental health and get beat up.
You could stay 24 hours, but sometimes I think 3 days. But if you try to go down there from here, because it's county funded, they want a ton of money. So you don't get, this isn't available to our, we have nothing available to our residents. If you live, you know, I called a couple of the facilities yesterday. They say people will actually move to Santa Maria, stay for a couple months so they can get themselves into a mental health facility. You know, our county is lacking in these. And I'm getting ready to do a story right now on the, it'll be breaking next week, on some of the issues with our homeless population.
I was just going to say, that's a huge problem.
And we a lot of the homeless are also mentally ill, but we run our homeless population differently here. We have an overriding body, I think it was founded by Adam Hill, and it makes a lot of the rules, and this board votes on things. Well, as in Santa Barbara, where they have a thriving parking program. They have 100 different lots, and the homeless are allowed to stay there at night. They have police patrols that watch them. They have a bathroom, and they, they have bathroom facilities. And in the morning, by 7 o'clock in the morning, they have to be gone. A lot of them are, like, at public parking lots, at the county buildings, city parking lots, different things. Not here. They are trying to do a five-spot program that the city's bill on this will be $80,000, and then CAPSLA will pay another $11,000 to $18,000. So for $100,000 for 6 months, they'll have five spots. They can't get one homeless person in the city to want to be in the program. And I walked around and asked why yesterday, and it was amazing. They want your paycheck. And I checked on this. They want, let's say you're getting $1,000 a month and you're working, you have to have your paycheck sent to CAPSLO. They keep it over at Prado. It goes into homeless services, and then they dole out 30% of your money to you. The one man said, I can't afford to live there. I won't have enough money for gas to get to work. Another man was on disability, and he's got a melanoma on his face. He has cancerous tumors. He is a retired Navy SEAL, or was a Navy SEAL, not retired, but Navy SEAL. He can't get his VA benefits. He can't, and he's been told that they're not going to help him anymore at homeless services. He was sleeping by the creek, but somebody is allowing him to sleep in one of the RVs up there while he tries to get mental help.
Why is he not getting help from the VA, do you know?
He's having trouble. They're having trouble getting his – they had his records, but now they can't find him. And a couple of the guys said the VA here is, if you're homeless, it can take you months and months and months. A lot of them die before they actually get the medical help. And I talked to numerous people walking up and down the street, and that was one of the complaints, and they thought that CAPSLO and Prado should be helping them more. But here was the interesting thing. This man said, I've now got to choose between eating lunch at Prado or sleeping out in the elements. So I went inside, and they have posted. No one would apply for their parking program. Everyone said no. So what are they going to do now? You park on Prado Road, you can no longer have lunch. They're not going to allow you to eat there if you're sleeping in a vehicle on Prado Road.
And why is that?
Because it's called rule number 11. And if you, so this guy said, I've either got to go sleep by the creek, and again, he's dying of cancer, and walk up and have lunch, or, this. And I'm just amazed. I called Santa Barbara Homeless Services, the parking program, and the leader of that. And she said what they're doing to the homeless here in this county is highway robbery, and it's wrong. They don't charge the homeless one penny for their services there. And she said the fact that San Luis Obispo County does and then puts all these little rules on eating lunch. She said you give somebody a free lunch, you give them a free lunch.
Who's on the board of directors?
The head of the board of directors is Adam Hill, and his girlfriend, Dee Torres, is head of Prado and is in charge of many of these programs.
Is there a homeless person on the board?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just insane. I'm going to tell you something. I, on my way to go to the vet's hall yesterday morning, I went Prado Road to get on the freeway. And I just felt sad. I felt sad to see that situation. It made me feel sad for these people. It's bad enough if that's how you have to live on Prado Road in an old beat-up beater. That's bad enough. But then the people that don't even have that, are living, it's like in the old days in Santa Barbara, they lived under that banyan tree. Remember that huge banyan tree? Anyway, but that's how the world works. And in Santa Barbara, another thing is, even though they provide more homeless services along the railroad tracks that run through Santa Barbara,
yeah,
you cannot believe the encampments of homeless right across from the zoo. There's that little pond, that lake,
yeah,
right on the track side of that lake. I rode my bike down there one time, and about my mouth dropped open.
And what they do is those are parking places for people that sleep in their cars. They're not for people in encampments. But they also, they don't charge their homeless. If you're homeless, they don't say, hey, you can't have your own paycheck. We need to dole it out and decide what happens with your paycheck. They actually let them use the services, sleep in their cars, eat food at their centers, without handing over their paychecks. And, the woman, the person in Santa Barbara, she said, most of these people are making $1,000 a month. I'm not taking their paycheck to let them park in a parking lot.
That's wrong. That's completely wrong.
That's what she was actually angry, and I thought at first she was angry with me. And no, she was angry with the treatment of homeless in San Luis Obispo County.
All right, let's go on to another thing. We don't have much time today. One thing that's happened that's interesting news, same-sex spouses and partners are entitled to long-term care insurance coverage from CalPERS, according to a federal judge they ruled on Friday. U.S. District Court Judge Claudia Wilkin scrubbed part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act defining marriages between a man and a woman. Wilkin's ruling said the public employees' retirement system's ban on long-term insurance for same-sex partners appears to be motivated by anti-gay animus. She said the man-woman provision in the federal law violates the Constitution's equal protection guarantee. So I don't know where this is going from here. Of course, the Supreme Court still has this thing. You know, they're supposed to rule on this sooner or later here about same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling. I mean, I hope that good things continue to progress, but I have a feeling that you know, they can do literally what Obama did. They could basically say it's going to be the state's job to determine each state. They could do that. They're not supposed to do that, but they could. They could just say we're going to throw it back down to the federal court level, and then whatever decisions are made there, that's what's decided. You know. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this. Hopefully they will say something, you know, and for gay people, I know what I hope they say, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll make a ruling on it because, you know, they've taken stuff under, what do they call it? They take, not advisement, but they've taken cases before that they said they would decide on, and they've chucked them. Because, and I'll tell you why, because they're too complicated, literally, you know. You can have we have the most wonderful constitution in the world, but it, honest to gosh, doesn't cover some of the things that have arisen now in the modern times. So that's really kind of interesting. What else is going on you want to talk about?
What else is...
Let's see what we got posted today. Let's see what you got there. We got the Santa Margarita board tax. Okay, that was crazy. We got the boat with the marijuana coming aboard. 2,000 pounds of marijuana, which was insane. It just happened down south, too, somewhere. A boat with all kinds of marijuana.
In Santa Barbara County, and it's becoming very, very common now. I'm surprised how much of it is happening.
Now, this is, tell me what this is about, this Fox executive guy. What's going on with that?
This kind of strange. Gavin Smith used to be a UCLA basketball star and is a big Fox exec and just disappeared. And the police are looking for him, and they're looking for him all over Southern California. And he's been spotted in a couple different restaurants here in San Luis Obispo County. He was spotted at Taco Temple in Morro Bay, and he's also eaten at Hoppy's. He has good taste in food. But he is allegedly told the waitress at Taco Temple that he was staying in town. But he's been seen when he goes out to eat with what they call a very tall woman. So it's kind of, I don't know, he was married, had children down there, and just disappeared one day.
So he's married and has children?
Yes.
And he just up and left?
Well, they just said he disappeared all of a sudden, and so they've been looking for him. So it's...
Well, he's driving. First off, he's tall. He's 6'6". He's dating a tall woman. And then he's driving a black Mercedes-Benz 420E with a roof rack, tinted windows, et cetera. You know, it wouldn't seem to be hard to spot this guy. So this is a tad strange.
It is a tad. There's a website started by his family, and the sheriff department in Orange County is actively looking for him. It's just kind of one of those
weird stories.
Odd little issues.
All right. Other things are going on.
What's the second story down in the uncovered side?
Let me get it right here. Come on. The second story down. Oh, and uncovered was Gilman may not defend past Robles council post. So that was the second story. Then you had the murdered Los Osos unanswered help, and so then you had Doug Gilman and city councilman Nick Gilman. And that's interesting. His feelings were, from what I've read, is that, you know, what you wrote was the fact that or Dan wrote was the fact that he just feels like he's very ineffectual as a city council person. That one city council person doesn't really make a whole lot of difference.
And, you know, I actually don't think, I mean, they've got that group, Paso Robles, Change Paso Robles. And I think I had a meeting last week where about 80 people, and we are going to be writing about it. It appears that one well-known movie star in, one of the best-known movie stars in the, around was at the meeting. We're trying to talk to him and ask him why he was there, too, and find out what the interest is in Paso Robles politics.
It's an actor?
It appears that Clint Eastwood showed up at the meeting. And he, I know.
Well, you know, Clint's getting older. Maybe he just got lost.
Well, we have been contacted by one of the founders of one of the wine festivals, and they are discussing giving Cal Coast News an award based on Clint Eastwood wants to give us an award for excellence in journalism regarding the coverage of the Paso Robles chief of police scandals.
I just came across a thing, by the way, that about Clint Eastwood, and he has 7 children by 5 different women.
Oh, really?
He's very active. He was younger days. He was very active. And, of course, then he married that Diana woman from the TV station. And so they were at some event together or something anyway. So
And isn't she doing a reality show now, too?
Yes, that's right. That's what she's doing. She's doing a reality show. And I don't know. You know, these people's reality and mine are not anything alike. I'm not sure why they're called reality shows, but okay, fine. Anyhow. So that was kind of interesting. So,
but
is there any guesses anybody has what he's doing here? What is interesting?
Well, no, I know why he's here to a degree, and I have seen him. I was walking into the Paso Robles Inn one day, and he was walking out, and that was probably a year ago. But he has a music editor that owns a winery here, he does spend a fair amount of time in the Paso Robles area. So this is not new, and as we know, he was very involved in Carmel. Politics and sure. Actually ran for mayor because he was fed up with the councils the way they were running the city. But the
and the ice cream was getting on the sidewalks. They didn't like that.
There's expected to be much more coming down about Paso Robles in the next couple weeks. We will have a story next week, hopefully, on Paso Robles and some of the issues there also.
Maybe he... Okay, so we're going to get together with Karen again. I thank you for coming today, and I'm thinking to myself here that maybe because the name of his film company, perhaps he's going to sue Paso Robles for using the name Paso because he owns Mal Paso Films. I just a thought.
I don't think he's the suing type.
News. I'm Pam Coulter. It came off without a hitch.
The Dragon spacecraft, now part of the International Space Station complex, the first ever commercial spacecraft to visit the International Space Station.
NASA's Mission Control announcing the successful docking of the privately owned Dragon cargo ship this morning. It's delivering 1,200 pounds of supplies to the station crew. SpaceX founder Elon Musk, whose company built the Dragon, is breathing a sigh of relief.
There was reason to doubt that we would succeed because there's not a lot of precedent for what we've done. This is the first time that a commercial company has done such a thing.
He got a congratulatory call from President Obama. Some women are fighting for their right to fight on the battlefield. CBS's Sam Litzinger has the story.
Being in the middle of a firefight is a dangerous place to be. Two female Army Reserve officers say it's where they want to be. They're suing the Department of Defense and the Army in a bid to reverse military policies that ban women from serving in combat roles. The lawsuit accuses the government of violating the constitutional rights of service women because they are women. The officers, Command Sergeant Major Jane Baldwin and Colonel Ellen Herring, say not being able to have combat roles has hindered their chances for promotion. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
UN inspectors looking for evidence that Iran may be trying to develop nuclear weapons have found uranium particles refined to a higher than expected level at an underground site. It may be suspicious, but the State Department's Victoria Nuland says they aren't jumping to any conclusions.
These are trace elements. The IAEA has noted it. They're going to be following up. So I think until we have a little bit more information in terms of what they think the origin might be, I won't characterize it one way or another.
Lawyers were called into the courtroom at the John Edwards trial as the jury finished a sixth day of deliberation. CBS's Jim Krasula is in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Even though the John Edwards jury has now deliberated more than 30 hours over 6 days, legal experts here at the federal courthouse in Greensboro say it's too soon to say jurors are deadlocked. They have a month of testimony and evidence to consider as they decide whether Edwards broke campaign finance laws.
The jury has gone home for the weekend. Police and SWAT teams are surrounding a real estate office in Valparaiso, Indiana, where a gunman is holed up with an unknown number of people. Police Sergeant Mike Grennis.
Officers arrived on the scene, and a brief exchange of gunfire did take place between the officers and the gunman. We can confirm, obviously, the gunman is inside the building. A number of individuals that were in the building, employees inside the building, have gotten out of the building since this initially took place. Or can confirm there are still people inside the building.
He would not say if the gunman's made any demands. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow down 45 points, NASDAQ up almost 2. This is CBS News.
Chances are there's a favorite shirt or sweater in your closet with the Land's End label inside. You know us for classic American style and quality that's guaranteed, period. Now meet Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality unifies teams and makes brands better. Small companies to market leaders like Caterpillar and Southwest Airlines are dressing employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Find out why at landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
Right now at the Home Depot, all special order Masonite fiberglass entry doors are 20% off. Transforming an entryway hinges on a simple change that's less expensive, more energy efficient, and longer lasting than wooden doors. With new features and glass designs you won't find anywhere else, you can give any home a whole new look. Thanks to 20% off special order Masonite doors. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 6, U.S. only. See store for details.
Summer fun begins in earnest this weekend, but doctors warn, be careful.
Memorial Day weekend will give millions of people a chance to enjoy some fun in the sun. Dr. Andrew Sama of the American College of Emergency Physicians hopes that doesn't mean extra business for him. He says some simple precautions can keep people out of the ER.
Make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids. Stay out of direct sunlight for prolonged periods of time. People have to remember to protect their skin with proper sunscreen, SPF obviously 15 or much higher.
Having too much to drink and eating food that's not properly refrigerated are other ways to wind up in the hospital. Frank Settapani, CBS News.
A lot of Americans will be at the beach this weekend, maybe even one chosen as the best beach in America by Florida International Professor Stephen Leatherman. Dr. Beach, as he's known, says Coronado, California's 1.5 mile long beach is the best in the nation. In second place, Kahanamoku Beach in Honolulu. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.22%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com and find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
It was 2 weeks after the day she turned 18. All dressed in white, going to the church that night. She had his box of letters in the passenger seat, sixpence in a shoe, something borrowed, something blue. And when the church doors opened up wide, she put her veil down, trying to hide the tears.
Folded up flag, and she had
Dad. What's new at the store these days?
Well, Kelly, there's always something new at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath.
Hey, in case you haven't been paying attention, Pops, I know that Mom is looking to spruce up the master bathroom. So what you thinking?
I'm thinking what's good for Mom is good for Dad. A good place to start is with a new vanity cabinet. And we've just received a fantastic new selection.
That sounds cool.
We've got just about any design or finish you could ask for. So there are tons of choices. And they're all pre-assembled, so they're easy to install.
Uh-oh, I see trouble brewing. But I know you can get her done, Pops.
Gee, thanks, Kel.
And let's not forget, Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the finest selection of knobs and pulls to really make that cabinet really sizzle.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures on the Central Coast, come shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
There are two types of hearing protection. Earmuffs fit over the entire outer ear so that the ear canal is blocked. Fashion earmuffs for keeping your ears warm do not prevent harmful sounds. Earplugs or inserts are typically made of silicone or film and are inserted into the ear canal to create a seal. They come in a variety of sizes and textures to provide optimum fit. Custom-made earplugs, which are popular with musicians and motorcyclists, can be obtained from an audiologist. This public service announcement is brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Hey kids, remember lots of adults and kids too paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
As you can tell, with Bill Back at Talk, see Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station and your place to find out about movies and stuff. We're playing some music for Memorial Day. Jim D's with me from the Palm Theater. And Jimmy, how are you, man? Oh, that's the wrong thing. Here it is. Okay.
Oh.
Now you can talk. Okay.
I'm great. It's great to see you. I missed it last week, although my daughter graduated from Chico over the weekend.
Real
proud of her, helping her move home. And that was great.
So what does she want to do?
She is going to go back to Europe. She was in a studies abroad program, and she loved it so much she's going to go back and take some courses in teaching English and going back to Prague in the Czech Republic to start with, because she was there for a year, and she absolutely loved it.
I wish I could tell you exactly where I have a nephew, my brother's son, and he was an interpreter in the Air Force. I think he can speak 20 languages.
Wow.
And so obviously what he did was intelligence. You know, they had him over in Europe someplace listening to all the stuff that was going on and being able to say what it was. And so now he got out of the Air Force, and so he's staying in Europe. He's where he lives, and he loves it. And now what he does is when he helps American companies that want to get stuff sold over there.
Hmm.
Or get patents done over there, or things like that. So
yeah, my dad was in G2 intelligence in World War II because he spoke about four languages, so four or five. So
I speak English and Navy.
Yeah, I'm a monolinguist. I think a little bit of French, very little.
Parlez-vous français? Thank you very much. Okay, fine. All right, we have stuff going on all over the place. What we usually do, Jimmy and I, is we talk about just stuff in general that's out there and what it's doing, and then we get down to business with the Palm Theater and what's playing there. Of course, one of the huge is the Avengers. Of course, has just gone completely crazy.
Yeah,
and continues.
I think it's about the number four top grosser now, because it's approaching the big ones to beat are Dark Knight, which I think is about $550 million, and I think the Avengers just hit the $500 million mark, and that's just in the United States.
Right, that's the U.S.
Worldwide, I think it's about number seven, because they still have to go after Avatar and Titanic, but the fact that the Avengers is still like the number one box office blockbuster, and it's already passed about $500 million domestically, it may become the biggest movie of all time, although I think it's really going to have to push it to beat Avatar.
I would think.
But it's a popular movie. I saw it. It was a lot of fun. And I read those comics back in the 60s. I remember where I was when I bought Avengers number one.
Really?
So, yeah. It was in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
I bet your mom chucked it out.
No, I saved them.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I did. I was kind of a collector. But
well, that's good, then. I bet they're going to start to be worth some dough.
Well, I already sold the collection, but still, they were worth a lot. It's too bad I don't have Superman number one or something like that. But, you know, yeah. The Marvel superheroes of the 60s were really kind of interesting. They were like, they called them superheroes with super problems. They weren't like Superman, hey, you know, you can leap tall buildings and faster than the speeding bullet and all that stuff. These guys had problems, so that's what kind of made the Marvel superheroes interesting.
That makes me laugh. It really does.
Really?
Now, Jim turned his nose up when I said, you know, they had a thing here on the internet I was looking at just earlier, and I thought I minimized it, but I did.
Got
there it.
It.
Wait a minute. God. And Jim said, I don't want to know about any of that stuff.
Well, you were talking about American Idol, right? And I've never seen it, so
okay.
That's, so,
I
sorry.
Haven't seen American Idol.
Oh.
ET at 30, 10 things you didn't know about our favorite extraterrestrial. But this was interesting because the one thing that was amazing was it was not originally going to be a happy, feel-good movie. It was designed to be a really horrific movie.
ET.
Yeah, ET. Yep. And so what happened was the guy who wrote it, Steven Spielberg, went to him and said, you know, can you rewrite it and make it nice and friendly, and we'll make it a kids movie. And he said, no, I can't. I don't know how to do that. So he said, okay, well, rewrite it and make it something else. So it's not like the E.T. thing. So then that's the guy that wrote the Poltergeist, wrote the screenplay for Poltergeist.
Hmm.
And then he found some woman who wrote children's books or something. I don't know. And she's the one that came up with the screenplay.
Hmm.
The other thing they were talking about was this, I got to, was a studio had turned them down.
Yeah, we talked about this, too.
Oh, here was the other thing, too. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Spielberg was asked, why don't you make a sequel to Close Encounters? And he says, I did. I made A.T.
Which, in fact, it was, I guess. And
Sort of.
The other big thing was the filmmakers, the story of how Mars Incorporated famously refused to let the filmmakers use M&Ms in the movie, reported because they found the creature too ugly and potentially upsetting the kids.
Oh, boy.
Which is why he decided. And guess what? When they went to Reese's Pieces, it boosted the company's profits an incredible 65%.
There's product placement for
you. Now, that's a product placement that worked. I'll tell you that. That's amazing. All right, here's another one. 5 ways to know you're watching a Steven Spielberg movie. I know we didn't really design to do this today, but we'll just real
smooth. Oh, it'll be fun.
Or not. Well, we'll know by what the next one says and by the time this computer loads it and the show's over. All right. Come on, computer. Between War Horse, The Adventures of Tintin, and Christmas New Year Jaws Marathons on Spike, there's a decent chance you saw something directed. Where does this go? Directed by Steven Spielberg over these past few holiday weekends, unlike any director who's worked as long as he has. 26 films in almost 40 years.
Mm.
And, of course, I at Christmas time, we certainly did. We watched it. Steven Spielberg did the thing with Tom Hanks and the Express thing.
The Catch Me If You Can?
No.
Is that?
It was a thing where they took Tom Hanks and they cartooned him.
Oh, the Polar Express.
Polar Express. Was that Spielberg?
He might have been involved in producing, but that's Robert Zemeckis, the director
Zemeckis.
Who did the Back to the Future
that's
films, a lot of other things. He did Contact, quite a few other things. And, you know, I watched Polar Express for the first time, I think, this last Christmas, and it's pretty entertaining.
I thought it was very entertaining, too.
Very entertaining.
Very different how they did it, you know. So it was of course, after one person's done it now, you know, there's been 10 other cartoons where they've done the same thing,
mm-hmm.
kind of way it works.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know what's always fascinated me, to be very honest, is the fact that these big Madison Avenue companies, who are supposed to have all the brains and they pay the big bucks to and all this kind of stuff, how often they copy what MTV comes up with the people that make the videos come up with these all new different things that have never been done before, and then they say, okay, we'll steal that. So, did you see The Matrix?
I saw the first one.
Okay,
I know there's three of them.
That's good. That's the one I needed you to see. So remember, it was the second movie. Anyway, where they show her jumping up in the air and about to kick everybody in the head and stuff, you know, and what they did was they put cameras all the way around her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they just showed this clip. Anyway, so it was really coolly done. It was kind of a cool effect, but
yes.
That was first done on MTV, on a music video.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're stationary, but the camera is still moving around. It's a pretty interesting technique.
And more with the computers and with movies and stuff, that they're able to do this new weird, exactly what we're talking about, where you everybody's not moving, but you're walking through it or something, or somebody's walking through it, and it's kind of like, okay, how do they do that? I have no idea.
Well, we go back to Avatar with the avatars, and those were real people, but somehow they digitally transform them into those blue creatures. You know, it's interesting.
I have to remember. A friend told me yesterday, Bill. The Avengers, or it was Captain America. Is that what this guy's name is?
Well, he's in the Avengers, but there is a film that's about Captain America, you know, and he was fighting the Nazis in World War II.
Well, okay, but Captain America is a big husky guy, right?
Yes.
So they used his head and digitally put a skinnier body into it to him look before he became Captain America.
Oh, you should see it, because Captain America, Steve Rogers, is this puny little guy who wants to be the ultimate soldier, and of course they do these experiments and turn him into Captain America. But it's pretty ingenious how they took this guy, Chris Evans, I think is his name, and he's in the new Avengers, but he's this little tiny guy, but he's got a lot of spunk, you know, and it's amazing how they did it, because they made him this puny guy, and then when he is his real self, Captain America, he has the perfect...
Well, I guess that's what he actually looks like.
That's what he actually looks like, exactly. But how they digitally made him a puny 97-pound weakling was pretty amazing.
More suits and sunglasses coming. We're talking about Men in Black 3, and they say that Josh Brolin's the whole reason to go to this movie, because he has taken on the so well taken the place of a younger
Tommy Lee Jones.
His accent, the way he says things, they said he worked and worked and worked on it, and apparently it's supposed to be just amazing.
I've only seen the trailer, but I really cracked up, and all the Josh Brolin does is like a or just this one word, and oh, it's Tommy Lee Jones. You know, I mean, it looks really funny.
That's funny. That's great. So they say, well, they gave it 3 tickets. Whatever that means with the people who do this stuff.
Well, it's the third one. Actually, the last Men in Black, was it like 10 years ago or something? So they're really, you know, resurrecting this one after a while. But it does look pretty funny, and I love, you know, all three of those guys.
Well, Men in Black 2 wasn't bad.
The first one is still quite funny.
Quite funny. I thought Men in Black 2 was done pretty well, too. So, the funniest part in the first one is when he says, the guy's looking into the hole, and he says, you know, you can have this gun when you take it out of my cold, dead hands. He says, no problem. He pulls him down the pit and takes his skin off.
Some of the little bits of dialogue in Men in Black are, you know, there's some new medium for music, and Tommy Lee Jones says, oh, I have to rebuy the White Album, you know. Little thing that Will Smith lets go, and it goes throughout the whole agency something. Yeah. That's what caused the blackout of, you know, New York a couple years ago. Pretty funny.
All right, let's talk about what else is out there real quick before we get to the Palm Theater. Hunger Games is still out. Oh, here was one, and I was reading about Chernobyl Diaries. So this is supposed to be some scary thing.
Yeah, I think it's...
Oh, there's a local girl that was from Morro Bay that's in it.
Yeah, they gave it a front page news. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's it.
I think this is by the people who did the Paranormal Activity, and I guess they go to where Chernobyl happened, and of course... You can imagine what happens there with radiation, and there's probably monsters or whatever they may be. I know not a whole lot about it, but that is opening today with Men in Black 3.
Day the world ended, remember? Radiation.
Oh, yeah.
A lot to do with radiation. You know, we were big on radiation back then, you know, and once we invented the new, you know, hydrogen bomb, then, you know, that's when Godzilla came along and everything else, you know, so we had to have a lot of that radiation going on.
Well, believe it or not, I talk about the Marvel superheroes. Half of them got hit with some sort of radiation. I mean, the Hulk got hit with gamma rays, and he turns into the Hulk. So it got a lot out of the radiation.
Spider-Man had to actually endure pain.
Yeah, the radioactive spider.
That's right. It was a radioactive spider.
There you go.
There you go, right. It wasn't just a simple dang spider. It was a radioactive spider. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what's going on at the Palm Theater.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town.
green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was. Homeward bound, home, where my thoughts are escaping, home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. And each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Thoughts escaping home, where my music's playing home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was. Homeward bound, home, where my thoughts are escaping, home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Silently for me.
Right there, Homeward Bound, and I can tell you, in every PX, every place that that people in the service gather, that's the thing that they like to hear.
You know, I haven't even noticed, but probably on Turner Classic Movies, they probably have a whole weekend of, you know, World War II.
Oh, they probably will.
And right. There's a lot of great stuff there.
All right, I'm just going to share this real quick, but here was the number one song played at jukeboxes around every part of the world by GIs back in the 1960s.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty. One thing I know is true. Be dead before your time is through. I watch my daddy in bed attire, watch his hair been a turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away. We've been working hard, babe.
If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get this place. But I'll tell you, Vietnam, you can imagine how many times that was played. All right, so, and here we just discovered something because Jim D has an ear for music, as you may or may not know. And so he said, you know, that doesn't really sound right. So I looked at what I picked, and what I picked was released by K-Tel, so I guarantee you that was not the Animals.
Eric Burdon and the Animals doing the original, but it didn't have a synthesizer bass, I don't think. That sounded like a synthesizer.
Yeah, that was a little strange right there. All right.
Great song, though.
All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Palm Theater.
Well, we've got our big summer blockbuster, and we've been showing the preview to the best exotic Marigold Hotel since December. And the reason for that is originally it was going to be released in March. Fox Searchlight, the distributor, moved it till today. So we're opening it today. We're actually having it on two screens because this film opened, Bill, if you can believe it, it was almost comparable per screen average to the Avengers. I mean, the Avengers had something like 40, 45,000 per screen average, which is through the roof. But this film playing in just some of the big cities was bringing in something like 27, 30,000. I mean, it's a huge hit. So yeah. It's the genius of this. Well, hopefully it's a very good film because we just got the print in yesterday. Haven't seen it. But ultimate counter-programming. I mean, I tend to think that people, or the movie industry, looks at that 18 to 25-year-old demographic, and that's why they make all the movies that you see in the multiplexes that have superheroes and so on. However, there's a ton of other people who love to go to the movies, and senior citizens love to go. And in this film, you have Maggie Smith, you have Judi Dench, you have Bill Cunningham, you have the British royalty of acting. I'm calling this our version of the Avengers because here they are all together in one movie. But we would show the trailer and people would clap after the trailer. Very funny. And it's essentially a group of seniors who want to go to India and retire or at least have a vacation at what used to be this wonderful retirement hotel in India. And it turns out that it's kind of not what the brochure said it was, or at least it's run down quite a bit. So here are all these seniors. Funny. Maggie Smith apparently is a real pain because she doesn't want to eat anything that she can't pronounce, right? Things like that. But it looks very funny, very charming, and very uplifting. And we had early shows today. We're already on to our second show. So for Memorial Day weekend, we've got a lot of expanded shows with this movie. And also we just heard from tons of our patrons, when are you getting this movie? When are you getting this movie? There's a major interest in this. So what's great is, you know, we're ending into the summer season, and hopefully there's movies that will appeal to all tastes.
You're right, you know, but here's what's interesting. You do get the movie industry isn't ignoring baby boomers, though. You know, there's been, like the one we just talked about, As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson and, and What's-Her-Face. You know, that's an appealing romance to someone older, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, and the other thing, too, is that I would have to say the stuff that Stan Lee has done, you got to remember baby boomers grew up in those comics, too.
You're talking about me.
There you are.
I bought those comics.
Are you boomed already? You look like such a young man. I didn't imagine you boomed yet.
Well, yeah, I would consider myself a baby
boomer. So you have an ARP card?
I do.
All right.
Little did you know, Bill.
Now, here, I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to talk about the Palm Theater. But speaking of ARP, they had a 97-year-old woman ran over a 101-year-old man. It was in the paper today.
Oh.
Okay, not good. You know what I'm saying? Some people shouldn't be walking and other people shouldn't be driving. All right, other things going on at the Palm. We have a Pope. Now, I would tend to want to see this, and I haven't seen it yet, but it seems to me that it would be very funny to have a guy who's been elected the Pope, as it's called, electing? Elected the Pope, and he doesn't want the job.
Yeah, and so they call in a psychiatrist to check him out, and they're saying, you know, can we talk about the Pope's childhood? No. Can we talk about this? No. And then the Pope-elect will say, or the reluctant Pope says to the psychiatrist, well, do you believe? He goes, no, I don't. He's, I mean, it's funny and it's charming, and we're actually holding that for a third week, and hopefully over this Memorial Day weekend, people will come to see We Have a Pope.
It's so fun to me.
It's charming. It's a good film.
All right. We have, of course, you always tell me, don't look in this thing, Bill, because the thing ends. And so,
The other film we're showing is Monsieur Lazare.
Monsieur Lazare.
It is from Canada, and it's in French. This was an Oscar nominee for Best Foreign Language Film. It's really quite a wonderful film with kind of a tough subject. It's a school, and the school has to deal with a tragedy. Let's just say that one of the teachers passes away, and all the kids in the school and the administration sort of has to deal with this very, tragic thing that happens to one of the teachers. And in the meantime, a replacement comes in, and this is Monsieur Lazare, who jumps into the place of this teacher who is gone, but also the school is a little bit in turmoil. Now, this sounds kind of downbeat. I thought it was really quite a wonderful film.
It's a four-ticketer.
Yeah, we got 4-star review. It's really, you know, it's subtle. It isn't in your face, but it's sort of how a school deals with tragedy. And I thought it was very, very well done. And everyone who comes to see it, most everyone really seems to enjoy it.
Here's an interesting thing. I saw it on Turner Classic Movies. The wonderful thing about having a DVR is that you can look ahead and see what's coming, you know, mm-hmm. for a whole week. And so you can tape stuff. And so they had a black and white silent, actually it's not black and white, it's brown.
Sepia tone
movie. It was the original movie of Last of the Mohicans. That's a silent movie.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, the kids will be interested for about 2 seconds, but for the 2 seconds they see it, they'll be fascinated with it. You know, and then immediately they'll say, okay, put in Star Wars. You know, right? But I thought I'd show them what it was about, you know, my niece and nephew, and say, here, this is how people went to the movies.
It's so great that they show the silent films because you can go back to some of those ones and you kind of go, oh, you know, they're kind of fractured flickers. No, there's incredible silent features. So you go back to the Chaplin, you go back to Buster Keaton, some of that stuff. It's fabulous. Yeah. So.
You know, I missed one day. I turned it on right at the end, and so I thought, well, they'll show it again this week, and they'll show it again this month, they'll show it again this year.
You're thinking of the million-dollar movie.
Here's what I'm telling you was. It was, although I did watch, because I was so jealous of you going up to Hearst Castle and watching Citizen Kane. I watched Citizen Kane yesterday.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it again. So here's the thing. Especially after you told me what Rosebud is. So anyway, there's the thing was interesting. I thought, what was I telling you? See, that's it. I'm losing it right there. I don't know. What was I talking about?
Well, you saw Citizen Kane, yeah, but then maybe there was another.
Oh, the movie was, it was called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And it was a silent version of The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did have on Turner Movies one time, they had a thing of outtakes. They had stuff that they didn't use, dances and songs they didn't use in the movie. They were cut out.
In the Judy Garland version.
Maybe the Judy Garland something.
Yeah, there were entire sequences that they let cut out. There's, yeah. I think there's a whole dance sequence by the Scarecrow.
There was a one where they all danced with the trees. The trees were moving. And they showed a guy during when they were filming the filming. They were showing somebody was filming the filming of it. And here was a guy taking a break, smoking a cigarette outside. You know, he stuck his head out of the tree so he could smoke a cigarette.
Love it. Yeah, there's that silent version of Wizard of Oz. I think there's a silent version of Peter Pan. There's also a silent version of Frankenstein that you never hear about, you know, way, and we're talking about 1915 or so. So, you know, they were making these classic stories back in the silent days. You don't really hear about those versions too often.
But I'll tell you, if you're going to see them, you're going to see them on Turner Classic Movies, and it's I do get a kick out of scrolling through and seeing what's coming up on Turner because they get some great old stuff, you know, and you get to see it again.
You know, Bill, I just wonder why there aren't more channels like Turner Classic Movies. I mean, they do such an incredible job. I talk to people, I got cable because I want to see Turner Classic Movies. I mean, no commercials except for, you know, their Turner Classic Movie store where they sell movies. But, man, it would be so nice to have more, a few more channels that do what Turner Classic Movies does, you know, without commercials.
You know what's interesting? Without commercials. Here's what's interesting. Speaking of non-commercials, did you hear about what they've just come up with? One of the satellite people, I forget which one, has come up with a DVR-type device, and all you have to do is hit a button, and if a commercial starts, it'll jump to the next thing, and you won't have to watch the commercial at all.
I want one.
Yeah. You don't have to fast-forward through the commercial, because they really know that even if you're fast-forwarding at 100 miles an hour, you know, through a commercial, subliminally, some of that's still going to get in your head. So this thing actually skips the commercial altogether. So, of course, there's people out there mad in hell that they're doing this. But here's what they did, how clever. I was thinking to myself, well, they have to advertise this somehow.
Exactly.
Okay, so you know what they're doing? They're doing a big radio run, and they're saying, advertise belongs on the radio, not on your television.
Genius. I like right that. There. Or at least, you know, any movie shown should just be shown from beginning to end, you know.
Oh, and the sad part about it is if you watch, you know, Channel 31 or whatever it is, and they're showing one of these old movies, holy dump truck, or even if NBC does it, it takes a movie from 2 hours to five.
Yeah, and then as the movie progresses, you know, they'll show you quite a bit of the movie, and then they'll have a commercial, and then they'll show a little more, another two commercials, and then as you get near the end, they're showing five commercials.
Oh, yeah, and it's absurd. It's just absolutely crazy. I make a living with commercials, but I got to tell you. And of course, the thing I was pulling my hair out over was the fact that they gave the industry an entire year to make the sound levels all the same.
Oh, you know, I thought when I first heard that, I thought, what is this about? Why would you even have legislation about this? No. You're watching a show and that commercial comes on, you kind of go, oh, it's way louder.
Yeah,
it's
all very much so.
Yeah.
Now, whether that works or not, I have no idea. What it's done for my wife and I is when commercials come on, we hit mute.
Exactly. I do it too.
But if it was the same volume, I'd be okay. I'd probably sit through the commercial. I'd be okay with it. But it comes blaring out at you, and it's like, the heck with you.
Oh, yeah, it's a jolt.
And I said on my show before, I said, you know, all radio stations have a thing, a processor, you know, called an Optimod. And what it does is it takes things that are low and brings them up, and it takes things that are high and pushes them down. So everything's about the same level, or it tries to make everything about the same level. That's, remember, you're talking about the audio portion of a TV station, of a TV's transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it take a whole year to put an Optimod in? You know, our engineer could do it in 15 minutes. So why did they have a whole year to do that?
Yeah, what do they call it, compression or something?
Compression.
Yeah.
But I don't get it, I actually don't get it. People, this is funny, too, because some of the older radio stations, before there was air conditioning, they had no choice but to have fans. You know, they keep the people cool and the equipment cool and all that stuff. They had their fans. And unfortunately, if you worked in one of those environments, you know, the processor would bring the sound of the fan up. So people would think, are you in a train? What are you doing? So it's either sit and sweat or turn the fan on and sound like you're in a train. That's very amazing.
Yeah, when there's silence, I guess it would probably hear that fan a lot lighter.
Oh yeah. Now here's a weird thing too, and I mentioned. Here's why I'm talking about this stuff with Jim D, because he was at Cal Poly at KCPR. He was one of the geniuses of KCPR. So here's the deal. That was interesting. That thing with the process. I was going to tell you one other thing. Now I don't remember. Probably wasn't very important. Okay. All right.
Remember when you had to take transmitter readings and things like that? Oh, boy.
Like as if we understood it.
Yeah.
And then, I know what I was going to tell you. I know what I was going to tell you. I remembered fighting it twice. That's pretty good. You know, inside of a minute, that's pretty fantastic. I've remembered and forgotten it twice. Oh, yeah. There was something else I was going to say about the darn radio place, but I don't know now.
We talked about KCPR, maybe. No. Okay.
That's gone.
It'll come to you later.
It went away. You were before Weird Al Yankovic's time, yes?
Yeah, I never met Weird Al, and I didn't get to see him record some of his music in the restroom right across from KCPR, where he got a really good echo something, you know.
Which is really weird that that's where they did it.
I only remember Weird Al, maybe I told you this, he was down at Mission Plaza one time with his accordion, and he's playing like Deep Purple songs. You know, like smoke on the water on his accordion. What a hoot.
Nancy met him because she was a waitress when the Arc 2 was still in town in Monterey. The Arc 2. So she was a waitress there going through school. And he'd come in and she'd say he'd write on his napkins. He'd be sitting there trying to come up with stuff, writing on napkins. And he'd always say, you know, can I have another 5 or 10 of these, you know? And she'd think, I just bring him a clipboard, you know what I mean?
Well, he's still doing stuff. I mean, the last thing I saw, he did a spoof on a Lady Gaga song, and it was hilarious.
All right, we got somebody on the phone. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Billy Boy?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you, sir?
All right. Hey, I just wanted one little fact on the Avengers movie that Jim has now seen, and you're the one that's on the outskirts. My son was telling me that all the main characters were offered either points or money up front, and the only one that took the points was Robert Downey Jr. And so far, it's made him $50 million.
So he took a percentage. Yeah.
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 Wow. Yeah. Now, everybody else took, it was anywhere from 5 to 8 million, I think, that they were paid for the movie. So Robert Downey decided, I'll take a gamble on it, and it turned out pretty good.
And he doesn't even need the money for cocaine anymore. So I don't know. Yeah. I have to tell you about it. I was so glad that I hope he stays sober or whatever you call it right now forever and ever, because he's a very talented man. I've always liked him as an actor. I thought he was just a very good actor back even in the days of The Fugitive or whatever the heck that thing was, you know. I really thought he did a good job. I always felt so sad when he'd be back in rehab, you know. And I think to myself, God, the guy's never going to make it. You know, he's just someday going to kill himself doing drugs, and yet it looks like he's doing okay.
He's fabulous because he sort of embraces that whole sort of wisecracking Marvel superhero. Right, right. And he's great. Yeah. I mean, he's really good.
Mickey Rourke came as close as you can to killing yourself with drugs without actually dying.
Yeah.
Okay. he had a lot of chances, and then finally, he says the lady that he has now is what really straightened him out, and you know, really made the difference in his life. And like you say, he is an incredible talent, and it's great that.
Although I have to admit, as weird as he looks now, he makes a great villain. You know, with his looks now, he makes a good bad guy.
Yeah, but now he's Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes, you know. He's playing the...
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about Mickey Rourke.
Oh, sorry.
Mickey Rourke makes a good bad guy.
Oh, yes.
He does.
He was the bad guy in Iron Man 2.
He was a bad guy in Iron Man 2, and there was a movie that I saw, and her last name, she was in the movie about the horse, Secretariat Lane. What's her name, Lane?
Diane.
Diane Lane. Mm-hmm. And she was in it, and he and his brother were bad guys, and they were trying to kill her because she was a witness. And he was a bad guy in that anyway. But it turns out he wasn't as bad a bad guy as the guy he was with. You know, the guy he was with was a real meatball, just one of these people that annoys the heck out of you, know. Finally, he shoots him. He just can't take it anymore. He shoots the guy. Anyway.
Well, there's a lot of talk, too, also on the Avengers about that they're so happy that because, like, this was his one shot for Josh Whedon. And up until this time, his real claim to fame was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mm-hmm. you know, the TV series. And so for him to, because he was given the chance on this, and he wrote it and directed it and produced it as well. And what a coming out party, huh? But this is a guy that definitely paid his dues and deserves everything that he gets with this.
Yeah, I think he pulled it off because there was so much going on. You have so many characters. Of course, all the so-called prequels to the Avengers, the Thor movie, Iron Man, the two Hulk movies were just okay, but I actually think they actually got the Hulk right this time. I mean, he was Mark Ruffalo makes a good Dr. Bruce Banner, and I thought he was a pretty scary Hulk. He was great.
Yeah, but it was kind of neat, too, that they brought Lou Ferrigno to do the voice of the Hulk.
Yep.
that was really cool, and it was nice that this is the first time ever that the Hulk has actually looked like the actor that played him as Dr. Banner.
Yep, yeah, they pulled that off. That was great. So considering the success of the Avengers, you know, DC Comics has been trying to do a similar thing because they have the Justice League of America with Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, all their heroes. Although we'll see if they'll try to pull that off. Maybe it's just like, okay, they did the Avengers, we're going to do Justice League of America, but we'll see what happens. Maybe next summer.
Yeah, well, that's what they were hoping for, but when the Green Lantern fell terribly short, now they're kind of wondering, you know.
Who is it? What's the name of the actor that was a Green Lantern guy?
I forgot.
Rosen? Rosen, is that his name?
He's a comedian. I can't remember his name.
He's a comedian. He's a comedian. I can't think of it either. But anyway, here's the point. Who would have chosen him? What were they thinking about when they said, you be the Green Lantern?
His manager was really working hard for him.
Well, I guess. Boy, talk about a mismatched idea, you know. Rogan, that's his name. Rogan, R-O-G-E-N.
Yeah,
that's his last name.
Oh, no, you're thinking of
Green
Hornet.
Oh, Green Hornet, I'm sorry.
Hornet.
Oh, not Green Lantern. Did Green Lantern do bad, too?
Yeah, it was below expectations, I think.
Well, look at all the things we've done. Batman certainly has turned out to be one heck of a franchise. And the Superman movies, you know, they made far too many of them, but, you know, they went a long way. They made five, didn't they?
Yeah, and they rebooted it, about 5-6 years ago, maybe longer, and it wasn't so hot.
Oh, they tried. That's right. They tried. They had a different actor. And then the question was that one of the 70s endings type thing where you didn't know if it was his kid or not. Remember, Lois Lane had a child.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Lois Lane had a child. Did they say it was his?
The Batman that's coming out, and there's a lot of anticipation of that, but the big problem with that is that's it. The guy that's playing Batman, this is going to be his last Batman movie. He doesn't want to do anymore.
Yeah, Christian Bale and the director, Christopher Nolan, I don't think he's going to do him anymore either. But Christopher Nolan has done Inception and
at some point
a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, at some point it's got to stop, doesn't it?
No.
I don't know. I've always told my son if I ever got into anything like that, I'd ride that horse until it dropped dead.
Be looking forward to Rocky 25.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, they're doing that with the Expendables,
that
was a kind of a campy movie that just kind of caught on, especially with DVD. And they're hitting all the old guys up and that are coming out of their wheelchairs to play the action heroes, So.
Yep. Everybody's in it. Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, Jean-Claude Van Damme, everybody.
I gotta say, I saw it on HBO or whatever it was on, one of those things. And I had to admit, it was amusing. It was real campy, like you say, and pretty amusing. And just the most nonstop shoot 'em up thing I've ever seen, Mm-hmm. It's like just, no stopping for air. They just kept shooting. It's like just, and the guy was pretty good with a knife, too, if I remember. Okay. That's kind
of
weird.
It was one of the just entertainment, no idea. To it, no thought.
You know what movie never didn't apparently it didn't take off, and people don't seem to. I'm it's like me liking the movie Cannery Row.
Oh yeah,
there's only two of us that ever liked it, I think, and I love the movie Cannery Row. I could watch that thing 10 times. But the other thing that is interesting that. That I find kind of interesting. I was going to say, look, I really have lost it today. I can't remember anything I'm talking about.
It's Friday.
It's Friday, whatever it is. Okay. We were talking about movies that we like. It was, let me think what it was. I don't remember. I liked it, though.
Well, one thing you said, Bill, as far as a film not making huge amounts at the box office, but it has a life on video, and it's Mike on the phone, there's almost you have a second chance when it gets out on video, and some things gain popularity, from the DVD release, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is, really. Some movies
One of the movies I was hoping that would happen to was a movie called Red, which was probably the worst advertised movie that you could ever have, had a wonderful cast, and it was a great story.
And they're making a sequel, Mike.
They are.
Oh, they are making a sequel. Well, then I guess it did get a little bit more life on DVD.
I believe they're making a sequel, and that had Helen Mirren.
That's the problem right there. They had an effect in that thing, or they lacked an effect in that thing. That as soon as I saw it, I said, okay, this movie's bogus. Remember the 50-cal machine gun that went shooting forever?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that, let's say you couldn't have enough ammo to do that. Let's say you had tons of ammo belted together and you could do that. But what happens is you burn the barrel out of a 50 if you just keep shooting it. All the rifling gets burned out. So what happens then is the bullets start to spin in big, small circles, then bigger circles and bigger circles. Then they start to tumble because they're not spinning anymore.
Wow.
Like a football.
Huh.
And so and that would have done that long before. The hardest thing when you were a 50 gunner was to say, okay, I got to do this in bursts. Even though you're scared to death and you want to just sit on it. You're like John Wayne, but you just had to do it in bursts because it was hard to get barrels.
Jim, Bill's the kind of guy that goes to a James Bond movie and says, how could he have a Walter PPK and all these guys with these machine guns and none of them could hit him, and every time he pulls the trigger, he kills somebody?
Well, of course.
That's right.
And speaking of which, the next James Bond movie is out, I think, in November. Daniel Craig is again in the role. And I think it's been a few years since the Bond picture, but there's going to be a new James Bond later in the year. I think it's called Skylift.
It was another one that they he gave up on or something to that effect. But talk about product placement. There's been a big controversy on that because Bond is not going to be drinking the vodka martini.
Why not?
They have a beer company that he's going to be drinking beer.
Oh, what a sellout that is.
It definitely is a sellout, but the closer it comes to the movie coming out, you're going to see a bunch of commercials with James Bond asking for
Now, Daniel Craig playing James Bond?
Yeah.
Yes.
In the next one? Okay.
And he can't say shaken, not stirred.
You can't say, because you can't shake the dang beer. You know what happens then. So
that's what they do.
I guess it'll just be chilled properly.
Everything's gone to heck right there.
He'll shake up the beer and use it as a weapon or something.
Thanks for your thoughts today, Mikey. We got
to
run.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All
have
right,
a great weekend.
Thanks,
Mike.
All right. And, Jim, I thank you very much for coming in, and we should get together again next week. I hope everything's good for me. We don't have Dodgers or anything. So we look forward to seeing you next week.
Oh, thanks for everything, and have a great, and remember what Memorial Day is
exactly.
all about.
Thank you very much. Okay, we our happy trails and all that thing. The computer said I'm not doing that today, so they're not doing it. So I will wish you also a very memorable and a meaningful Memorial Day, and we'll get together on Tuesday next week.
He said, "Son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say? If I said that you could just carry this gun, you'll even get paid." I said, "That sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shines so bright. They cut off my hair, but it looks alright." We marched and we sang. We all became friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must. 'Cause it's a flag that I love, and a flag that I trust. I kicked in the door, I yelled my commands. The children, they cried, but I got my man. We took him away, a bag over his face, from his family and his friends. They took off his clothes, they pissed in his hands. I told them to stop, but then I joined in. We beat him with guns and batons, not just once, but again and again. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home,
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. Is it